Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 2, that chapter that was read for us earlier this morning. It's good to be back with you. I was sick the 1 week, and last Sunday we were at Jarvis Street, but it's good to be back here with you guys at Newcastle. We love you guys, and again, happy Mother's Day on my behalf to all the ladies, both physical mothers and spiritual mothers, because we have mothers here that are spiritual mothers. They may not have physical children, but they are mothers, and so we want to wish happy Mother's Day to you as well. I want to look at Exodus chapter 2 this morning, and we're going to be looking at a different mother tonight from the Old Testament, so if you would like to come back to church tonight, we'll be taking a different mother. Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we start. Father, we do want to thank you and praise you so much for the great, great God that you are. Lord, we just sang a great hymn, praise to the Lord the Almighty. Your grace is so beautiful, Lord. You have befriended us by your mercy. You've called us to yourself through the Lord Jesus Christ. You've given us your word. You've given us your people. You've given us your spirit. You've given us the church. Father, you've given us of yourself. And we want to thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, as we study your word this morning, we pray that you would take this truth and write it in our hearts, write it in our minds. We pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear what you have to say to us. And not only ears to hear, Father, but hearts that are willing to receive and respond to your truth. I pray, Father, that all of us in this room would be willing to say, Lord, speak to me. I'm listening to what you have to say to me this morning. I'm willing to, Lord, change wherever I need to change. Oh, Father, do this work by your grace, we pray, for Jesus' sake, for your glory's sake, for our sakes, Lord, that we might be changed from one degree of glory to another. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The story is told about a young man who happened to be walking around in a supermarket one day with the intention of picking up just a few groceries when he happened to notice that an old lady was following him around. Thinking nothing about it, he chose to ignore her and he continued on his shopping. And finally he went to the checkout line, but the lady who had been following managed to squeeze her way right in front of him, and she got in line before him. And she said, "Excuse me, sir." She said, "I'm sorry if my staring at you has made you feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's simply that you look exactly like my son who lives so very far away from me, and I just couldn't take my eyes off of you." The young man completely understood and he said, "Don't worry about it, ma'am." He said, "It must be so hard to be alone. Is there anything at all that I can do for you?" And the woman said, "Yes, there is." She says, "As I'm leaving the store, could you simply wave at me and say goodbye, mom? That would make me feel so much better." The young man said, "Of course I could. It'd be a pleasure for me to do that for you." So as the old lady was leaving the store, the young man waved at her. He said, "Goodbye, Mom," and she waved back, and then she left, and he never saw her again. Then as he stepped out to the checkout counter to pay for his groceries, the young man noticed that the total came out to $127.50. In shock, he looked at the cashier and said, "I only bought a few things. How could these few items cost that much money?" And the cashier said, "Well, I'm sorry, but your mother just told me that you'd be paying for her groceries too." Not a very nice lady. Today's Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is always a very special time of year. Motherhood is not an easy task. It is not a simple role. It requires a lot of faith and a lot of patience. It requires a lot of grace and a lot of understanding. It requires a lot of wisdom and a lot of prayer. Today is that one day of the year where we take the time to honor that one human being who so unselfishly gives herself to her children time and time and time and time again, without ever asking for a single thing in return. If your life's been blessed by the touch of a godly mother, then you've enjoyed one of this world's greatest treasures and blessings. Not everybody can say that they have had the privilege of living under the wise influence of a woman who feared God and loved God and trusted God and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who have will go to their graves remembering the great examples of their godly mothers. And they will praise God for His rich and abundant mercies towards them in their lives. Abraham Lincoln once said this, "No man is poor who's had a godly mother." And somebody else has written, "The instruction received at a mother's knee together with the pious and sweet souvenirs of the fireside, are never effaced entirely from the soul. You know, one of the most beautiful letters that was ever written was addressed by the Scottish essayist and historian Thomas Carlyle to his mother, Margaret Carlyle. The letter was found by a friend of his who was going over Carlyle's papers after his death, and it bore the following inscription: "My last letter to my mother." The letter says this: "My dear good mother, let it ever be a comfort to you, however weak you are, that you did your part honorably and well while in strength and were a noble mother to me and to us all. I am now myself grown old and have had various things to do and suffer for so many years, but there's nothing that I ever had to be so much thankful for as the mother that I had. That is a truth that I know well. And perhaps this day again it may be of some comfort to you. Yes, surely, but if there's been any good in the things that I've uttered in this world's hearing, it was your voice essentially that was speaking through me. Essentially what you and my brave father meant and taught me to mean, this was the purport of all I spoke and wrote. And if in the few years that may remain to me I'm to get any more written for the world, the essence of it, so far as it's worthy and good, will still be yours. May God reward you, my dearest mother, for all that you've done for me, because I never can. I never can." You know, the Bible echoes the very same sentiment when in Proverbs 31, it delineates the characteristics of the wife of noble character and says this: "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her, lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds a distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she's got no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her lips. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates." And I say amen to that. That is a picture of the wife of noble character. That is a picture of a very godly mother. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he will praise her at the city gates. Chuck Swindoll once gave a list of IOUs which applies to mothers all over the world, and most of which are long overdue. He exhorts us to stop after each one and consider the priceless value of that very special lady who's made such a wonderful difference in our lives, our moms. He says, "Dear mom, as I walk through the museum of memories, I owe you for your time, day and night. I owe you for your example, consistent and dependable. I owe you for your support, stimulating and challenging. I owe you for your humor, sparky and quick. I owe you for your counsel, wise and quiet. I owe you for your humility, genuine and gracious. I owe you for your hospitality, smiling and warm. I owe you for your insight, keen and honest. I owe you for your sacrifices, numerous and quickly forgotten. I owe you for your faith, solid and sure. I owe you for your hope, ceaseless and indestructible. And I owe you for your love, deep and devoted." That's what we owe our mothers, each and every one of us. And may we never forget it. Her children will rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he will praise her. You know, the most powerful person in this world is not Barack Obama, the President of the United States. It is not Vladimir Putin, the President of Russia. Or it's not Abdullah bin Abdulaziz, Asudov, the King of Saudi Arabia, or David Cameron, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Those are not the most powerful people in this world. I want to tell you something this morning. The most powerful person in this world today is that woman who, by the grace of God, we have been able to call our mother. Because she's that one individual who's probably had the greatest impact and the most significant influence in our lives. President Theodore Roosevelt once said this, "When all is said and done, it's the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are going to be the men and women of the next generation. It is she who's of greater worth to the community, and it is she who's more important by far than the most successful statesman, businessman, artist, or scientist." I think he was absolutely right. Mothers are indeed the most powerful people in this world because they're the ones who have that primary role of influence in a child's most moldable years. They're the ones that God so often uses to shape the minds and the characters of the children who are going to be the leaders and the governors and the rulers and the followers of the following generation. It's with all that in mind that I want us to focus our attention this morning on an Old Testament lady, an Old Testament woman that I believe is an excellent model and example of motherhood for the 21st century. In Exodus chapter 2, that section of Scripture that we just read, we're introduced to a woman whose name was Jochebed. And I think she stands out as one of the greatest mothers that are revealed to us on the pages of Holy Scripture. Her selfless love and sacrifice made possible the exodus of God's people from the torments of their slavery in the land of Egypt, and it literally changed the entire course of human history. As we look at Jochebed's life this morning, I think we're going to discover characteristics in her given by grace that should be adopted by every godly mother who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only by them, but also by every single believer in Jesus Christ. These truths apply to every saint of God who's been redeemed by God's mercy and by God's grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what I want to do this morning is I want to consider this portrait of a godly mother from five different perspectives. Number one, Jochebed's credentials. Number two, her courage. Number three, her confidence. Number four, her charity. And then number five, her compensation. So first of all, I want us to look at Jochebed's credentials. Look at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman." Now, Jochebed was an Israelite. She was a Hebrew. She was a Jew. She was one of God's chosen and elect people. She was also a member of the tribe of Levi, from whom would come the priests of Israel. Those men would later carry out all the duties of the tabernacle and of the temple in their service before the living God. Now both Jochebed and her husband Amram were godly and devoted believers. They were faithful followers of Christ. They loved the Lord and they honored Him. They sought the Lord and they feared Him. They were the kind of people who were willing to defy the order of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that they might live their lives by the commandments of God. They were the kind of people who didn't only say that they believed, but who actually lived like they believed. The kind of people whose faith was evident in their walk. The kind of people whose doctrine was observed in the way they lived their lives. The kind of people whose creed was seen in their conduct. There was nothing phony about this couple. Amram and Jochebed lived the life. They lived the life. They took the Lord and they took His word with great seriousness. I think they were the kind of people that James speaks about when he says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." He says, "Do what it says." That was Amram and Jochebed. They didn't merely listen to the word and deceive themselves. They were a couple who did what the word of God said. They knew the Lord and they served Him with an obedient heart. Now every mother needs to have a saving relationship with God. And every mother needs to have a growing relationship with God. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. We all know that as sinful human beings, the only way that we can be reconciled to God is through the saving mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the redemption that He accomplished for us as sinners at the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. It says He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The Bible says He saved us. The He refers to the loving God, and the us refers to the fallen creature, to the sinful and rebellious creature, to us. As rebels before God. I mean, the very heart of the saving work of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God loved us enough to save us from what we were, sinful human beings. And notice how God did it. He didn't do it by any of the righteous things we could ever do, but He did it by His own sovereign mercy and grace. The Bible says He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. God decided to withhold the judgment that we deserved. And He decided to extend to us a grace that we did not deserve. And He did this indiscriminately according to His own divine will and purpose and to the praise of His own glorious grace by granting us the grace of repentance and faith so that we might believe in Jesus Christ alone, so that we might trust in Jesus Christ alone to save us from our sins. My point is this, every single mother needs to have a saving relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him this morning, ladies? Do you know Him? Have you come to that place in your life where you've seen your sin before God? And understand that your sin has separated you from God, that you're under His divine wrath, His divine judgment, justly so? And have you seen Jesus, the Redeemer of sinners, hanging on the cross of Calvary? And have you heard the news that says, if you look to Him in repentance and faith, you will be saved? Have you done that? Have you personally turned away from your sins and trusted the Lamb of God alone to save you from your sins? Every single lady, every single man, every single young person in this church needs to have a saving relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Not only does every mother need to have a saving relationship with God, but she also needs to have a growing relationship with God. She needs to be transformed day by day by day into the image of her blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's why God saves us, guys. He doesn't save us to leave us in our sins. He saves us to make us like Jesus, His Son. He saves us to make us holy from the inside out. He saves us to purify us, to sanctify us, to make us like Christ. That's why the Bible says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God who's at work within you, both to do and to will according to His good purpose. Every single child would certainly benefit from the life and example of a mother who knows the Lord savingly and who seeks the Lord growingly. Every single child would certainly benefit from the example of a mother who's been reconciled to God, but who's also being sanctified by God's grace, by God's Spirit on a daily basis. Every single child would certainly benefit from having a mother like that in his life. Would you not agree? Would you not agree with that? That's the kind of mom that Jochebed was. She was a woman who knew God. She was a woman who was seeking after God. And she was the kind of woman who revealed that to her little boy Moses. Those are the kinds of women that I pray God will produce in this church. Those are the kinds of mothers that your children need to have. Women of faith.
Women who know Jesus. Women who love Jesus. Women who seek Jesus. Women who are willing to reveal Jesus to their children. That's the first characteristic that we observe in Jochebed. The second one that we observe in Jochebed that we should pray would also become a part of our lives isn't only your credentials, but it's also her courage. Look at Exodus 1, verse 15 to 22. You see this decree that goes out from the king of Egypt. Look at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it's a son, you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and let the male children live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. So the Hebrews are growing great in numbers, and the Egyptians are getting afraid that these people might all band together and lead some kind of revolt. So they decided to put slave masters over them in order to press them with hard labor. But the more that the Israelites were pressed, the more they grew and multiplied to the place that the Egyptians began to dread the Hebrews, and they worked them ruthlessly because they were afraid of them. And that's why the edict goes out from Pharaoh, king of Egypt, when you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and you see them on the birth stool, if it's a son, you shall kill him, but if it's a daughter, she shall live. And when the midwives refuse to do that because of their fear of God, Pharaoh commands all of his people and he says this, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile. Now Jochebed was a woman who was under that unholy jurisdiction of Pharaoh, but she refused, just like the midwives did, to give into the godless system that would cost her son his life. She refused to compromise her biblical convictions. She decided instead that she was going to live by the word of God. She understood that it meant death not to comply with his order from the king, but she desired the welfare of her child more than she did the safety and security of her own skin. Guys, may God give us parents like that. May God give us parents who are not afraid to take a stand for that which is right, for that which is holy and true, regardless of what it might cost them physically or socially or emotionally or economically, especially in these very dark days in which you and I live. I pray that God would give us parents who demand more from their children than what this present world has to offer them. I pray that He gives us parents who are willing to say, enough is enough. I will teach my children the ways of the Lord, and I will raise them up under His will and under His precepts. And may God give us parents who are willing to cry out, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May God give us parents like that. We need parents who are courageous enough in these days to stand strong by the counsel of God. Stand strong by the counsel of God alone if they have to, even if it means it's going to cost them something in their lives. You know, I love that resolution that those godly men make at the end of the movie Courageous, where we read these words, I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as a spiritual leader of my home. I'll be faithful to my wife to love and honor her and be willing to lay down my life for her, even as Jesus Christ did for me. I'll bless my children and teach them to love God with all their hearts and all their minds and all their strength. I will train them to honor and authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I'll pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I'll forgive those who've wronged me and reconcile with those that I've wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man who's answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength that God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and to His glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Guys, I love that resolution. Men, that's the kind of guys we need to be. That's the kind of resolution we need to make. That's how we must live. And I'm going to say this, women, you should also be making that kind of resolution in your own lives. You know, one of the most shameful things that can be said about a family is that the children would have more of a heart and passion for Jesus Christ than their parents do. It is always a blessed thing when children and young people walk with God. But guys, it is the parents who ought to be setting the example for their children in godliness and in righteousness and in holiness, in courage and in faithfulness. Their children ought to be able to look up to their parents and imitate them because their parents are imitating Jesus Christ. A mother and a father ought to be able to say to the children God has blessed them with, follow me because I follow Jesus. That's what we ought to be able to say. That's how we ought to live our lives. Those are the kinds of courageous spiritual parents that every single child needs. Is that the kind of parent you are? Is that the kind of parent that you desire to be? The story is told about a little boy who once asked his dad what a Christian was like. His father sat down with him and explained to him in great detail exactly what a believer was supposed to be. And when he finished talking to his little boy, he thought that he'd done an excellent job. But his illusions were all shattered when his little boy asked him, Dad, have I ever met anybody like that? That little boy didn't see Jesus in his father. Another story is told about a man whose son had become very, very sick. After going through a series of exhaustive tests, the father was told that his son had a terminal disease. The little boy had trusted in Christ as his Savior, so the father knew that his son was going to go to heaven when he died. But he wondered how he was going to tell that little boy that his life on earth was going to end very, very shortly. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed about it. And finally he walked into that hospital room with a broken, heavy heart. He opened up the Bible and read some scriptures to his little boy. And then he prayed. And then he opened up his mouth and he said, Son, the doctors have told me that you've only got a few days left to live. And the father said this, Son, are you afraid to meet Jesus? And the boy says, no, Dad, I'm not. Not if he's anything like you. Praise God. That is the kind of example that we ought to be setting for our children. Friends, they ought to see Jesus Christ in us and not be afraid to stand high for Him in this world because their parents, their fathers, and their mothers have set the example for them. And they've stood high themselves for the glory of God and for the praise of Jesus Christ. What kind of example are you setting for your kids? Are they being drawn closer and closer to Jesus because of you? Or by your life, are you turning them away from the gospel because you act one way one day of the week, and the rest of the week they see how hypocritical you really are? That's the second characteristic that we see in Jochebed. She was a courageous believer. She had a heroic attitude. She refused to give in to a godless system that would have cost her the life of her son. We need to be courageous parents who refuse to give in to a godless system that would seek to take away the lives of our children as well. We need to stand by our convictions. We need to make the decision that we will live our lives by the Word of God. We need to safeguard our kids, friends, even if it means that we jeopardize our own safety and welfare in the process. We need to be the kinds of parents that Paul speaks about, or he doesn't speak about parents, but he speaks to believers. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Those are the kinds of parents that you and I ought to be. Are you like that? Are you like that this morning? Is that your passion? Is that your pursuit? God help us to live like that. Number three, third characteristic we observe in Jochebed that we should pray would also be developed in us isn't only her credentials and her courage, but it's also her confidence. When I use that word confidence, I'm talking about Jochebed's faith. She was a woman who was motivated by a strong faith in the will of an absolutely sovereign God. She knew that God was completely in control of her life as well as the life of her little son. Her faith was so strong in the God who would never fail that she's named along with her husband in Hebrews chapter 11, that faith hall of fame, where it says this in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Jochebed needed this kind of faith in this one true and living God in order that she might accomplish his purposes in her own life. She needed this kind of faith in order to be able to resist the world that confronted her. I want you to look at Exodus 2, verse 1 and 2. Look at what it says. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. Listen, guys, the world was crying out for the death of her son. But this godly mother stood strong in the face of that attack, and she did whatever she could to protect her son from this world. Her faith in a sovereign God did not negate her need to be responsible. Did you hear that? Her faith in a sovereign God did not negate her need to be responsible. The world demands that you and I hand our children over to it, so that they might become more and more conformed to this world's image and to this world's focus and to this world's pursuits and to this world's priority and ultimately to this world's sin. But listen to me, our children are too precious in the sight of God. I hope they're too important to us that to let them go and become the victims of this world's unholy and unrighteous influence. I know that we can't shelter our kids from this world, but listen to me, as long as they're with us, we've got to do our best to protect our children from the ways of this world. Can I say something to you moms and dads here this morning? The responsibility of raising our children to resist the ways of this world does not lie in the lap of the church. It lies in your own lap. It is our calling. It is our command to do that. The Bible says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you are to be upon your hearts. Your hearts. And then it says, Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbol on your hands and bind them on your forehead. That's my responsibility. It's your duty. It's your responsibility. Jochebed was a woman who was like that. The world was crying out for the death of her son, but she was willing to stand fast and do whatever she had to do in order to protect him. So she hides him for 3 months. That's a woman of faith. We have to be willing to do the very same thing. Because we have to do whatever we need to do to protect our children from the sinful influences of this world. That means getting involved in their lives. That means getting involved in listening to the kind of music they're listening to. Getting involved in terms of determining what kind of TV shows they're going to watch while they're in your home. All those kinds of things. Now, some of you parents may disagree with me, but I think that's biblical. I think that is spiritual. And I think it'll save you from a lot of heartache in the end. It takes great faith to stand against the grain and to raise our children for the glory of Jesus Christ, but the benefits are surely worth it in the end. The Bible says, do not love the world, either the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life does not come from the Father, but is of this world. And this world is passing away, and so are the lusts thereof. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. It's my duty. It was my duty. Let me say that. It was my duty to do whatever I needed to do to protect my children from this world when they were growing up under my roof. The responsibility stops here. And not only was Jochebed's faith and confidence in her sovereign God seen in her zeal to resist this present world, but I think you also see it in her willingness to release her loving child. I mean, this is an extremely hard lesson for godly parents alone. Look at verse 3. When she could hide him no longer, she took from a basket made of bulrushes and dubbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. It took great faith and confident trust and a certain hope for Jochebed to put her little boy in that basket and then to place that basket in the river, not knowing what would happen. That's your great faith in trusting God to do that. I mean, that was the very same river that was being used to drown and execute young Hebrew boys. I mean, you remember the king's edict. He says, every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile. It took great faith for this godly woman to take her hands off of the life of her little child and to leave that little child in the sovereign hands of her great big God.
It's a great faith to do that.
That is a lesson that every single godly parent needs to learn. It takes great faith for us to do the very same thing that Jochebed did. We only have them for a little while, but then we have to learn to let them go. In a very real sense, we have to learn to take our hands off of their lives. We are compelled by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God to train our children in the ways of the Lord. But in the end, after everything's been said and done, we've got to take our hands off of our children's lives and we have to learn to release them into God's strong, faithful, all-powerful, and most capable hands. We have got to learn to do that. Some parents live in denial, right? They don't want to let go. And they try to hold on to their children far too long. But the day always comes when their children have to be allowed to become adults and they have to learn to make their own way before God in this world. And it takes great faith for a mom and a dad to step back and say, oh Lord my God, my faithful, faithful, faithful God, into your hands I now commit and entrust my child. It takes great faith to say that. It takes great faith to do that. But every mom and dad who knows God and fears God and loves God needs to do. We've got to let Him go. We've got to put our trust in God. We've got to take our hands off of our children's lives and release them into God's sovereign, faithful care. Have you done that? Are you willing to do that? Jochebed learned that lesson. I'm sure it must have tore her heart in pieces when she did learn it. But she trusted in God. She didn't trust in herself. Now, when I speak of letting go of our children, I'm not suggesting for one minute that we stop praying for them or that we stop providing wise counsel to them or that we walk away from them completely, leaving them on their own. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that we've got to come to that place at some point in time in their lives where we stop controlling them and where we put our trust in God to keep them and sanctify them because He's a faithful God. His promises are always true. We can depend on them, right? What does the Bible say? He who began a good work in them will what? Carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Dear parent here this morning, you need to learn that lesson from Jochebed's life. You need to do everything you can to protect your children from the ways of this world, but you need to understand that there is a day coming in your life when your role is going to change and when you're going to have to release your children into God's sovereign care. And you're going to have to trust that He is a God who watches over the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked perishes. His eye is on the sparrow and I know He watches me. You've got to trust that. Let go. Fourth characteristic we observe in Jochebed, I think we should pray, should also be developed in us. It isn't only her credentials and her courage and her confidence, but it's also her charity. That refers to the wonderful ways in which she gave of her life. First of all, we see that she gave of herself. Look at verse 9. She pours her life into the life of her son. It says, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. After Moses had been found by Pharaoh's daughter, Miriam and Jochebed were able to work things out so that Jochebed would be able to nurse her son. And during that time, she was able to teach Moses all kinds of things about God and about worship and about right living. In those few years that she had with him, that she had him in her arms, she poured her life into the life of her son from a physical, emotional, and spiritual perspective. And I think that's what every good and godly mother does, isn't it? Every good and godly mother pours her life out for her children emotionally, physically, and spiritually. That's what they do. That's their aim in life. That's their passion in life. Friends, that's why it's so important on a day like today that we stand up and we honor them. It's why we appreciate them and thank them and love them and arise and call them blessed.
I think we see another element of Jochebed's charity in the passage that we have before us. Not only is her charity expressed in the giving up of herself, but I think her charity was also expressed in the giving up of her son. I want you to look at verse 10. I mean, listen to what it says here. This must have been so hard in Jochebed's life. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and what? He became her son. Jochebed, in a very little sense, was raising her son so that she might give him over to the service of the Lord and to His will. She gave up her son to save the nation, even as the father gave up his son to save his people from their sins. And Jochebed did this even though she couldn't see God's sovereign purpose, even though she was blind to what the future held. She knew that her child was not her own possession. Her son had been given to her in trust. She was a steward of the gracious gift that God had given to her only for a season. And we cannot forget that even though sons are a heritage from the Lord and children are a reward from Him, they are not given to us for our own purposes, but they've been entrusted to us for the purposes of God and for His divine will in their lives. And one of the questions that I always ask parents whenever they commit themselves before the Lord to raise children according to His ways, whenever we celebrate a parent dedication and a baby presentation, is this. I ask them this question. Listen to it. Do you pledge today before God and this congregation of believers that you will accept God's will for your child's life, whatever that will may be? Yes, we need to pour our lives into the lives of our kids. But yes, we need to give our children back to God for His will and for His purposes, no matter what that will or purpose might mean, as painful as it may be. That's why there was a sword that pierced the Virgin Mary's heart. She saw Jesus, her son, on that cross. She understood what it meant to give your son to the will of the Father. That's love, friends. That's love. The greatest thing we could ever do for our children, the most noble demonstration of our love towards our kids, is to give them over to God so that they would fulfill God's purpose in their lives. You see that with Hannah. She prays for a child. She prays for a child. She prays for a child, and God gives her a little boy. She calls him Samuel. And after she's weaned him, she takes him to the temple of the Lord, and she says, Lord, here is my son. Use him for your glory. You see that when Adoniram Judson writes a letter to Anne Haseltine's father, asking for her hand in marriage, and he says, are you willing? Are you willing to consent to losing your daughter? To maybe never seeing her again in this world, to that place where she goes and she may die a horrible death, which she did die a horrible death in Burma. Her dad is willing to let her go. We express our love for our kids in giving ourselves over to them, but also in giving our children back to God, who gave them to us in the first place so that they might fulfill His purpose. Finally, one more point. I'm going to close with this. We should also pray that we would have this characteristic developed in us, Jochebed's compensation. I mean, Jochebed's son became such a great man of God, didn't he? He was that man that God had chosen to be the deliverer of His people Israel. He was the man that God would reveal His law to the entire nation of Israel. He is such a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, is he not? And of the true exodus from sin and death and Satan that Jesus accomplished for us at the cross of Calvary, when He endured the storm of God's wrath in our behalf that He might save us from our sin. Moses pictures Jesus, the real, true deliverer of the people of God. He's the one that took us not out of Egypt, guys, but out of sin and death and judgment, and brings us into the real promised land, the land of eternal blessedness with Christ. But I don't want us to miss out on what kind of guy Moses was. He became a great man of God,
Listen to what the Bible says about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking forward to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. I don't think Jochebed ever realized that any of these things would come to pass in her son's life when she was raising him up. I think she lived the remainder of her life never really knowing how God was going to use her son. Yet in spite of not knowing the future, in spite of not seeing the fruit, Jochebed honored the Lord in the short time that she had to raise her son. And because she did, I think she stands out as a great example of a good, godly mother. I think her reward in heaven was great. I want you to get the lesson in all of this, the final lesson. You have no idea who it is that you might be raising this morning. Friends, it might be a Moses. It might be a David. It might be a Paul or a Deborah or a Hannah or a Mary. It might be a Spurgeon or an Edwards or a Piper or even a Judson. You have no idea who it is that you are raising under your roof this morning. My prayer is, as long as God gives us these precious little children, that we would do our best to point them to the cross. We would do our best to pour our lives into their lives, teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them about the ways of God, to love the Lord, to fear the Lord, to trust the Lord, to serve the Lord. We have to be willing to learn from Jochebed's credentials and her courage and her confidence and her charity so that we might be able to experience the compensation she experienced. We need to pray that our children would resist this world and fight the good fight of the faith, that they would run the race that God marked out for them. We need to pray that they would become young men and young women that God would be able to use for His glory in such uncertain days as this. I want to tell you something, guys, and I want you to hear me from my heart. I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet. I am not a prophet. I believe prophets are people that are preachers. But I'm going to tell you something. Guys, you young people that are getting married, your children are going to suffer for the faith. You are going to suffer for the faith. Some young people in this church are going to suffer in the next 20, 30 years for the faith of the fathers. They're going to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now is the time to start preparing for the persecution that is coming our way in the next 10, 15, 20 years in this nation. This is a day to have our roots go down deep. This is a time where we need to say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I will not compromise the Scripture. I will point my children to Jesus Christ no matter what it costs. I'll be willing to suffer no matter what it costs. I want to challenge you young people. I want to challenge you parents in this room this morning with young children in your lives. Please learn these examples from Jochebed's life. Pour yourself into Scripture. Get involved in a Bible-preaching local church where you're going to be encouraged and strengthened in your faith. Avail yourself of all the means of grace that God has given to you whereby you can grow spiritually and pour your life into your children's life. Be their spiritual leaders. Be their spiritual mentors. Pray for them. Teach them about Christ. Encourage them. And most of all, live the life in front of them. Live the life in front of them. May God make us parents like that for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You so much for Your goodness and Your kindness and Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You so much for the Lord Jesus who died for us. We thank You so much for the great salvation that we enjoy. We thank You for parents in this room this morning. We thank You for children in this room this morning. We thank You for parents that will be parents in the future, Lord, that are not parents yet. Father, we pray that all of us who know the Lord Jesus in this room this morning would be willing to live our lives, even as Jochebed lived hers so many centuries ago in such an unholy place. Give us the grace to trust Christ. Give us the grace to love Jesus more than we love ourselves.
Give us the grace to live our lives in light of the great sacrifice He paid for us. Help us, Lord God, to pour ourselves into our children's lives, understanding that we are their primary mentors, their primary leaders. And help us not think that it's the church's responsibility to teach our kids. Give us the grace, dear Lord God, to roll up our sleeves and become involved in our children's lives, not only physically and emotionally, but especially, Lord God, spiritually, as fathers and as mothers. We need Your grace for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen.